be up here to finish up this Uncommon series with you. I'm excited to do it. We've spent 2 weeks so far exploring how our relationships are supposed to look. How many of you know we're not supposed to look exactly like every other person out there in the world? You know, I was thinking about it, and I've realized something in this Christian life. On one hand, I'm really excited that I don't have to live like they do out there. You know, there's people out there who have no hope. Something goes wrong in their life, they have nowhere to turn. We do. But on the other hand, I'm beginning to realize not just going with the flow and trying to fit in is really hard sometimes. To live uncommon, to live different than everybody else is not a fun thing all the time, but it's always worth it. And, you know, being uncommon is gonna take work. And so what we wanted to do in this series is talk about relationships, because those always take work. Has anybody just had a relationship where there's not even an ounce of work? You just flow together, never a fight, never a disagreement. If anybody does, you should probably be up here talking about it. But what we've talked about so far, we talked about two major areas in relationships so far that our lives are supposed to look different than everybody out there. And that's in the area of communication and conflict, two really fun ones that we had. So if you missed either of those, I encourage you, go get the podcast, get a CD of it, because what happens is we begin to learn how to do things the right way, I promise you, your life is going to change. If you begin to learn how to have uncommon communication and uncommon conflict, your marriage is going to look different. Your friendships are going to look different. But today we're going to talk about the last area, and it's the word commitment. Now, I think for a lot of people that's kind of become a dirty word. That's a bad word. Nobody wants to commit anymore. I know we live in the middle of a society that's really light on commitment. If you think about it, you know, it's not just in our marriages, but it's in our jobs, it's in our friendships, in our hobbies. We're really quick to change from one thing to the next, to the next. And, you know, I was thinking about this whole topic, and I just want to start off with a disclaimer at the beginning. You know, when we're talking about marriage and relationships and about committing to it, there's always going to be a relationship. If there's abuse or if there's a marriage where some serious things are going on, that's not what we're talking about here today. There are times to break ties and get out of a bad situation. So I just want to put that on the table right at the beginning. That's not what we're talking about today, but we're talking about those other relationships today, because people in this world are so ready to jump out at the first sign of a struggle. They're ready to just throw in the towel and give it up. And our verse for this series that kind of we lay over the whole thing is Romans 12, verse 2. And it says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." God's will for us is good and pleasing and perfect. But what does this verse say? We don't know it until we do what? We change. We stop copying the behaviors of the world. And sometimes I think, you know, it's really hard to have our thinking changed because everyone around us is doing it one way. We might as well just go along with them. To have our thinking changed, we have to get out of the crowd and be willing to put a little bit of work into it, a little bit of effort into it, and not just follow along. So we're going to spend some time today, just a little bit of the first time, talking about how the world does things, how the world sees commitment. Because I think a lot of times it's really hard to fix a problem until you actually see the problem that's there. As long as I don't think it's a problem, then I'm good, right? So we're going to talk at the beginning about what the problems are. So here's what the world says. The world says, "I'm willing to commit as long as I'm happy." As long as I'm happy, it's no problem, right? Because my commitment shouldn't ever have me being sad or disappointed. It should be about me, my happiness, and that's when I'm willing to commit. And I heard it explained this way. in a marriage relationship. Here's how it goes. Step number one, you go out and you find the right person. Step number two, you fall in love. And once you fall in love, step number three, you take all your hopes and all your dreams and you hang it on that person. And then step number four, once failure occurs, because it's going to, then you just repeat steps one, two, and three and start over. And that's how people do things. You look out in the world and that's what they do. They go, okay, I tried it, all my hopes and dreams, this person's perfect, I'm gonna hang it on them. And then what happens? They disappoint you. They don't fulfill one of your hopes. One of your dreams is dashed to the ground. Well, that's okay. I'll just go back and I'll repeat all those steps again. I'll go find another person and start all over. And you know, I think what happens is once we're in love, we go to the altar. And for those of you who are getting married soon, 4 weeks, Cam and Gentry. But you go to that altar and you're starry-eyed and you're so excited. And you repeat those words, till death do us part. And you're thinking, you know, life just isn't going to be long enough to contain our love. It's going to be so good. And every moment is so precious for a couple of months. And then what happens? You start to realize, that death thing is a long way away. I just committed to something that I'm dreading, waking up in the morning. And some things start to go wrong and some disagreements start to happen. And you start to realize that as long as I take all of my hopes and my dreams and I hang them on Clint, I'm gonna be disappointed every time. As good as he is and as well as he treats me, he's gonna mess up once in a while. And I can raise my hand, I do the same for him. So what happens is we need to stop looking at it this way, because he's gonna let me down, friends are gonna let us down, our job's gonna let us down. We need to make sure that we take our hopes and our dreams, and the only place they're going to be safe is to hang them on God, right? He's the one who gave those to us in the first place. As long as I'm hanging them on some other person, some other thing, I'm going to be disappointed. And that's when commitment breaks down. The other thing the world tells us is, along with being happy, then I'm willing to commit as long as it's not too hard. It shouldn't be too hard. Commitment is fine as long as I don't really have to work for it. And you know, the world is always telling us this. If any of you have seen any infomercials on TV, they always promise just for 7 easy payments of $9.99, what's gonna happen? That, whatever it is gonna make your life easier, it's gonna be faster, everything's gonna be better. And so we've gotten accustomed to the idea things shouldn't be hard for us. This world should make everything easy. And if there's a struggle, then we should just throw in the towel because it probably wasn't right anyway. And honestly, as I'm watching my girls grow up, I'm realizing that this next generation is really getting a tainted view of that. You know, my girls have never had to wait and rewind a cassette tape to listen to a song, never had to sit and put it in a VCR and rewind it to watch a movie. Everything's instant. Want something to be fast. I want it to be easy. You know, when they talk on the phone, they don't have to stay really close to the base because it's connected by this curly wire that I can only go so far. So we live in this world that's telling us all this technology is here to make things easier for you. Technology can never fix a relationship. Technology is not gonna make relationships easier, take the struggle out of marriage, take the struggle out of friendships. And so as long as we're believing it's supposed to be easy, we're buying into a lie that hard equals bad. And it doesn't. Hard does not equal bad. And I'm just gonna tell on myself a little bit here. I did it just this week. You know, we have a ministry here at the church that you've probably heard of called Project 216. And it's our outreach into the school system. And so we try and help meet the needs of all of the local children. And one big part of it is our weekend food bag program. So we have about 50 kids a week now that we're taking food bags to, which is awesome. And I'm so excited to be a part of it. I want to give a shout out to our Motion Youth. They help pack the bags. And some of you adults out there help pack the bags too. So thank you for doing that. But in saying that, 50 bags is a lot of food. And so we have to get together these bulk orders. And so I was doing that this past week, and I had ordered a shipment of food. And on Friday, I came up to the office, and I was sitting, and because I had checked online, and it said, out for delivery. So that means we're golden. I'm sitting up here waiting. It's out for delivery. And I waited. And I waited. And so I got back online, and it said, oops, it's been delayed a business day. So I thought, okay, well that's fine, not a big deal. It'll be here on Monday. That's still in enough time to do what we need to do. So I came back up to the office on Monday, and I was sitting down doing some work, and I thought, I'm just going to check on what's going on with my package. And so I got on the computer, and I typed it in, and it said, package has been refused by the receiver and returned to sender. And my mind said, that doesn't make sense. That can't be what happened with my package. So I got on the phone, and long story short, I was on the phone for 3 hours. So I was going between different companies and different people, and they would always say, ma'am, I'm not quite sure what's going on, but I'm just going to put you on hold for just a brief moment, and I'll get right back to you while I look into this. So you know what that means, right? You're sitting on the phone, and if you've ever been on the phone with a company, they have that nice canned elevator music that plays that I really think they're trying to get you to hang up. That's what I really believe. But this one didn't even have a vast selection of songs. They had a 45-second loop of one section of one song. So it would play, I'd be waiting, and then it would break in the middle of a verse, and I think somebody's about to talk to me, and it'd start looping again. And so I did this over and over for 3 hours. And you know what began to happen? I began to not care so much about those hungry kids anymore. I cared more about my sanity and my time and my peace of mind and my happiness. And I began to sit there and go, this isn't worth it. This is not worth it to pack these bags this week, to sit here for 3 hours and wait and wait. And I began to buy into the lie that the world tells me that hard is bad. And so we finally got it all straightened out. But what I had to do, as soon as I hung up that phone, I had to repent. Because I was sitting there going, I could be using my time for something better. I'm supposed to get up and speak on Sunday. I want to be here studying. I shouldn't be here trying to track this package down that wasn't even my fault. I hung up that phone, and have you ever had that little whisper inside of you from God? He said, what is it that you're speaking on again on Sunday? Oh, commitment. and not thinking that things are too hard and giving up. That would be what I'm speaking on. So God reminded me, it's not about me. It's about the commitment that I made. And so thankfully, we serve a God that forgives us, right? Amen. Sometimes, you know, in our commitments, we're relatively happy. Things aren't too bad. We're doing okay. So we decide we're going to stay committed as long as nothing better comes along. As long as nothing better comes along. And honestly, again, the world shoves this down our throat. How many of you out there are in some sort of contract with a cell phone company or a satellite TV system? There's a lot of contracts out there that we can get into. We sign up for a year or for 2 years. What happens towards the end of that contract? We start looking around, start trying to find out, is there a better deal out there? I want something that's a little less expensive, maybe a couple more bells and whistles. And the way of that thinking, if we're not careful, it can seep into our marriages. It can seep into our friendships. And I can begin to go, you know what? Clint's pretty good. You know, we're doing okay. But then I meet somebody, and this person really listens to me. He just understands. He's better. You know, in our friendships, we have a good friend who's been there for most of our life, and then we find somebody else who's fun, and things seem fresh and exciting and a little bit better. And in our jobs, you know, I was reading some statistics, and my parents' age and the age before that, the common thing was you got out of high school or college, you got into a career, and you stayed with that career until you retired. That's just the way you did things. You stuck it out. You committed. You stuck it out. You want to know what today? By the time people are 40 years old, they're going to have gone through at least 10 jobs. 10. By the time you're 40. So that's like from 20 to 40, probably 20 years. You switched 10 jobs. Because people don't want to commit anymore. There's always something out there that looks better. It looks like it's just going to fulfill me a little bit more. So we have to be careful with that. And you know, the world's way of committing, it's like I said, it becomes about me and my feelings and my thoughts on it and what is going to be good for me. But when we start to look at God's way of doing things, he has a very different view on commitment. God's way of committing is all about what he can do for us. So if we look at God's way to us, number one, God's always giving it all. He's always giving it all. Romans 8, 31 and 32 says, "What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else?" You know, God went all in his love for us. I was just thinking about that. As we are singing those songs today, we spend the entire time in worship and saying, "God, you're everything. God, we love you. God, you've done this for us." And he has. He's given it all. He committed to this thing with no promise on our part. Did you know that? God went in knowing that it's very likely we're going to say no to him. The Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus went and he suffered and he died just for the possibility that maybe I might choose him. That's commitment. That's giving it all. Before we ever made a promise, God said, "I'm all in. I'm not holding anything back." And God did the crazy thing of letting us choose if we wanted to jump into the relationship. And my 8-year-old Mabel, she says all the time, "Life would just be so much easier if God didn't let me choose to do bad things, if he just forced me to always do what's right." And I think some of us agree with that sometimes, right? If God just made it so that I would just didn't have the option, I'd be pretty good. I'd be perfect. And so, you know, that seems like it'd be an easier way of life because free choice is great until we come up to a hard decision. We're all for, "I want my choice and I want to be able to do it my way," until I realize what that means, that I have to make the hard choice. But God was so committed to a relationship that he left it up to us. You know, he didn't want a bunch of robots and slaves walking around that were forced to choose him, that were forced to love him, that were forced to serve him. So he gave us that choice. And he made a plan before the world was even created to give up his only son to us, for us. You know, he knew the road that Adam and Eve were going to walk before he made them, and he did it anyway. That's commitment. And you know, if I had just given up my son like that for a bunch of sinners, if I were God, I probably would have said, "That's enough. I gave my only son. I'm done. I'm out." But if you read the rest of this verse in 32, let's read that part again. "He did not spare even his own son, but he gave him up for us all. Won't he also give us everything else?" Another version says he freely gives us all things. So some of you, I think, need to check your image of God this morning. It's not like he just gave Jesus and then stepped out of the picture. He's still there waiting to give everything that you need on top of that. He gave Jesus to restore relationship, but this says, won't he also give us everything else? So check how you're viewing God this morning, his commitment to you. Have any of you ever had a time in your life where you felt like God's nowhere to be found? Have you ever reached a point, I've been there, where you're just like, okay, really need you right now, God. Well, I was thinking about that this week. I think sometimes we have a false sense that God is so far away because that's where we put him. And Sam, if you could come up here real quick. I asked for a helper this morning. Sam is God. So here's me and God. You know what? Today was really great. Church, amazing. Worship was really good. I felt something while I was singing. So good job, God. Message was good. Got to see some people who were really cool. So thanks for all that. Got a really busy week. You know, I'm doing school, you know that. So I've got some tests coming up. I've got to work. You know, I've got a couple of shifts. And you know how it is. Once I have a really hard day, I really just need to go home and just relax. So I'm right in the middle of binge watching that series on Netflix. You know, you understand that. So I'm going to be doing that in the evenings. Got to keep up with Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Got to Snapchat a little bit. I've got dinner with a couple of my friends. So here I get to about Thursday or Friday, something comes up in my life. God, I need you. Where are you? Where is he? It's right where I left him. My Bible promises me that he will never leave or forsake me, right? So I have to imagine, if that's true, I'm the one who did the moving. Right? So we feel like God's nowhere to be found. God, I thought you were in this. I thought you committed to me. I thought you were going to give me everything and be there when I needed you. Well, he's right where you left him. So it's our job to stay close to him. Everybody give God a hand. Thank you. But I just want you to get that picture in your head that it's not okay to just be with him on Sundays and then the rest of the week leave him off to the side and then wonder where he is the next time you need him. The amazing thing about God, he gives it all to us, but then he also knows these people down here, they're going to royally mess it up. I'm going to give them everything and they're going to mess it up. So his commitment also looks like he's always forgiving it all. I'm going to mess up over and over and over again. So he knew commitment is doomed to fail if there's no forgiveness. So he set the example for us. You remember what it says in the Lord's Prayer? We pray, God, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who are sinning against us. God, forgive me, and I'll turn around and forgive others. See, that's not the world's way of doing things. The world's not all about forgiveness. The world's about getting even, hurting the person who hurt you, leaving the person who hurt you. And so we need to be careful that we're living differently than that. You know, how differently would our lives and our marriages and our friendships look if we just forgave? There's a lot of things that could be fixed just by forgiving. Remember, we're trying to be uncommon, trying not to fit in. And 1 John 1:9 is a verse probably most of you have heard that says, but if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness, from all unrighteousness. You know, it seems pretty cut and dried. It says we forgive or we confess, he forgives and cleanses. We confess, he forgives and cleanses. You know, God could have made it so this scripture had an unless in there. And that's what I act like sometimes with God. Like he's saying, well, I'll forgive you and I'll cleanse you unless it was a really big sin. Or unless this is the 15th time that you come and asked for forgiveness for the same thing. But God doesn't do that. He is all in and he is forgiving it all. And there's another reason to thank God. In Lamentations 3, 21 through 23. And I love these verses. It says, yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh when each morning. That's a promise right there. Each morning, I need his mercies. Each morning as I throw my legs out of bed, I need to be confident in the fact that his mercies are waiting right there for me. And that's what this verse promises. His faithful love never ends. His mercies never cease. That's something we need to be able to trust in, that he's committed to us. How good God has been and will continue to be to us. And I really wanted to stress that this morning. I don't think that we're truly able to commit to other people until we really understand how committed God is to us, until we really understand his love for us. So I put on your handout Psalm 103, and I want you to take that with you. Go home and read it, but I just wanted to read it to you this morning. So just sit back, take a deep breath, listen to this, and just take in who God really is. It says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things, and my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and die, and the wind blows, and we are gone, as though we have never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. The Lord has made the heavens his throne, and from there he rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for his commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will. Praise the Lord, everything he has created, everything in all his kingdom, and let all that I am praise the Lord." I know that's a long passage, but that one chapter in the Bible should be enough to get us excited. When you read over that and you realize he's forgiven all our sins, he's healed all our diseases, he takes the sins that we have done, casts them as far as the east is from the west. That's just amazing to me, to think about how much God loves us. And I think we need to remind ourselves of that over and over, because the world takes that away from us. You go out in the world and you begin to go through just daily grind of life. You don't even have to be having a bad day. Just busy. Busy with normal stuff. And you begin to forget all that God has done and how gracious and how forgiving he is. Now, he's perfect in all of his commitments, and we're far from perfect in everything. So I think now that we have a better understanding of all that God has done, I want to finish today by giving you some places to check in your life. You know, knowing about God's commitment to us should make us make better choices in our commitments. So here's a description I heard of commitment that I love. It says, commitment. It's doing what you said you would do long after the mood you said it in has left. Commitment is doing what you said you would do long after the mood you said it in has left. How many of you have been there? You sign up for something, you get all excited about it, sounds good, and agree to do it. And then as time goes by, you realize, this isn't as fun as I thought it was going to be. That initial excitement begins to disappear, and reality sets in. Commitment can never be based on feelings. Feelings are going to lie to you. Your emotions are going to lie to you. You need to trust in the fact that what you said at the beginning and the mood you said it in when you agreed to it, you need to stick with that, no matter what your feelings are telling you. So what should our way look like? First of all, our way, we need to commit to God. Period. Kept it simple. Commit to God. Matthew 22:37. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." We have to put God first. And I know we can sit here and go, "Oh, I know that. I know I'm supposed to put him first." But if you can really get to a place where you love him with all of your heart, all your soul, and all of this thing up here, your life's going to look a lot different than it does right now. We can try and try, but if we can really follow this verse to love him with all of that, everything in your life is going to begin to fall into place. I can promise you that. If you begin to strive after him with all that you are and commit to him. And I might step on a couple of toes this morning, so curl them in a little bit when I say this, but if God isn't first in your life, he's not in your life. I'm going to say that again. If God's not first in your life, he's not in our life. God doesn't accept second place. He doesn't. He doesn't have to. He's the one who created all of us. He doesn't have to accept second place. And he refuses to. You know, it says in the Bible, it's impossible for someone to serve two masters. And if we're not putting God in first place, that's what we're trying to do. So we can't have a little bit of God here and a little bit of the world. We have to put him first, or else he's not in our life. And the thing is, I think we hear about that and we go, "God, that's so demanding. That's so mean of you to, and so jealous of you to want to be in first place." But you know what? He doesn't do it because he's mean. He knows that if he's in first place in my life is going to be incredible. If I'm choosing to follow him and his way and his plan for me, I'm going to be so satisfied. I'm not going to lack anything because I'm choosing to put God in first place, then my life is going to be amazing. You know, it's kind of like Mabel and Emma. They think life would be great if they could have M&Ms for every meal. If they had their choice, that's what they would pick. But Clint and I, as the parents, have to step in and go, "That's not how this works. That'll eventually destroy you. Your teeth will rot out of your head, and you will not be healthy." And that's what God does for us. He knows in our lives the junk that we want to choose is going to eventually destroy us. He looks down. He goes, "Don't make that decision. Don't choose that. Don't put that into your life. Don't surround yourself with those friends. Don't turn that direction." He's not doing it because he's mean and wants to be in control in a rude way. He wants the best for us. So we have to think of it that way, that he's a father that wants us to have the best, most abundant life possible. And so we look at it that way. He actually, if you think about it, modeled that for us. He was the first to give everything. He first gave his son. He loved first so that we can learn how to love, so that we can learn how to give. And I heard a story, and I'm not big on corny animal stories, but I heard this one and it just really spoke to me. So one day, a pig and a chicken were walking down a road. And they passed by a diner, and there was a sign up in the window, and it said, "Ham and eggs for $3.95. And the chicken looked at the pig, and he sighed. He said, "Well, I guess that's our only contribution to society, is breakfast food." And the pig looked at her and said, "To you, it may be a contribution. To me, it's total commitment." Think about it, process. Okay, we have 5 chickens at home, so I'm pretty much an expert right now on chickens. I've watched them for about this much of an hour every 1 or 2 days. They put out a little bit of effort. They lay an egg. Some of them don't, and Clint's about to get rid of those chickens. But so anybody want a pet chicken that's good for nothing else, you can come see us after. But they don't put a lot of effort in. They just have a little bit of time that they have effort. The whole rest of their day, they do whatever they want. They're just sleeping, they're walking around. They don't have to think about it. I'm afraid that's what Christianity has become. You know, we as Christians go, I gave a little bit over here on Sunday. I plugged into a dream team over here. I gave this little bit. I'm contributing. God, I'm a contributor. God doesn't want contributors. He wants people who are committed. So say this after me. Don't be a chicken. Be a pig. Right? He wants people. You'll remember that. He wants people who are committed, who go all in. That pig has nothing else to do, but he's got to give his life if he wants to become some ham. You know, you can't walk up to a pig and just shave some side off of him. He goes off on his merry way, right? That's how we need to be. We need to be all in, not just contributing. So once we've committed to God, we need to commit to relationships. That's what this whole series is about, is relationships. You know, it needs to look like your marriage first. If you're married, you commit to that first and foremost. Then family and friends. And I discovered a secret this week, so I'm going to let you in on it. You want to know, there's 2 reasons why relationships are hard. Does everybody want to know? Youth, pay attention to this. Very important. You want to know what they are? 2 reasons. The first one is the first person in the relationship. And the second reason is the second person in the relationship. The people are the problem. Every time it's the people. And so if you think about your relationships, they're going to be hard. People make it hard. A relationship is with another person, so it's going to be difficult. Remember, commitment doesn't kick in until the hard times come. You know, I don't have to feel like I'm committed to Clint when we're off on a cruise and we're having fun together. That doesn't feel like commitment. That feels like a good time. Commitment comes when you have your first child and it's 4 in the morning and they've been up every 10 minutes and he's pretending to be asleep so that he doesn't hear her crying. Any parents been there? That's when commitment comes in. When I remember, okay, I made a choice. Good or bad, I made a choice, and I'm going to stick this out. Commitment comes during the hard times. You can't go into commitment and say, well, I'm going to commit if. You add that if in there, it's just a deal that you're making. Commitment isn't deal making. It's saying, I'm in this. Period. So commitment to relationships looks hard. You know, it's me saying to Clint, I know that in this thing, I'm going to see the best and the worst in you as time goes on. And you're going to do the same for me. But it doesn't matter because we're in it. And we'll stick it out. And we choose to go through life together as a team. And we have to remind ourselves of that sometimes. Remember, we're a team. Teams shouldn't be fighting one another. We stand together. But that's what this thing is. Our relationships need to look like a team and not giving up. 1 John 3:16 says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. You know, again, Jesus did it first so we'd have an example. God doesn't ask anything of us that he hasn't done already for us. So the example is there. And just like Clint and I are on a team because of our commitment to each other, you know, all of us, we're on the same team as well. All of us together are supposed to be working for this thing together. And we need to commit to the cause. The last thing we need to look at is committing to the cause. I don't know if any of you have been watching the news lately, but you may notice people are beginning to use their voices a little bit more, and they're beginning to gather together and to protest and to stand for things. They're beginning to be committed to the cause together. And I think, you know, we're supposed to do that as Christians. We're not supposed to go out there and wage ugly protests and fights. We're supposed to be committed to this thing. And so we need to believe in the importance of this relationship that we have with God. You know, if we realize that there's people all around us who are going to hell. I mean, think about that. We walk out these doors, and if somebody doesn't know Jesus, their life is on a bad path. And if I'm committed to the cause, then I could care about that person. And I need to link arms with one of you and encourage you, and we need to go through this thing together. But there's people out there who are lost, and they're hurting, and all they need to do is hear about a Jesus who saves them, and a God who loves them, and a Holy Spirit who came to give them power to make it through this life. How are they going to hear if we're not out there living it? If we're not joined together as a team for this cause? I think we really need to start to take this thing seriously. And I have kind of a part two of my food bag story. Because all of that food didn't show up when it was supposed to, I made a trip over to Statesboro to try and pick up the items that we needed. And I went to the store, loaded up my shopping cart with everything that we needed, and then started that walk down the register aisle looking for one that looked really good. And I saw one. It was a lady, she only had four things. So I thought, this is going to be good. Should have known. Every time I think it's going to be a good line, it isn't. But I got in with my big shopping cart full of stuff, and I started unloading everything onto that belt. So I was committed. I'm all in. And so the guy that was ringing her up got to the very last item, and it was a little fun-size Snickers bag. Teeny little thing. Ran it across there. Nothing. Took it again. Ran it across. Nothing. He started pulling at the plastic, trying to get the barcode out there. He took his little scanny thing and nothing. And the lady spoke up. She said, sir, I know it was only $2.47. You know, I remember how much it was. Oh, okay. He takes it. He's trying to read the barcode, type it in. I have a choice to make at this point. I just learned a lesson a couple days before about not giving in when things get a little bit difficult, right? So, planted a big smile on my face. I just stood there with my shopping cart, like I had all the time in the world. Meanwhile, he's pulling at it. He goes, gosh, I can't read those numbers, but I'll just guess, and starts typing it in. He's like, that's not right. And the lady turns back at me, and she's like, sorry, you know, telling me. And then I gave her that universal, we're good. I guess that's what that means. You know, a little wave, shrug, it's fine. So for what felt like a really long time, he kept trying and trying to get this to ring up. And I'm standing there making a choice. God, this is worth it. Those hungry kids, they're worth it, God. I'm making the choice. And I was just waiting for him to make the move of death. And to all of you who are cashiers, sorry, but the move of death is when the person goes, I'll go try and find it on the shelf. I'll be right back. And then you stand there. He didn't do that, though. So he kept trying. It was probably 5 minutes. He's trying to get this. And he finally turned to the lady and said, do you know how much it was? And she said, sir, I told you at the beginning it was $2.47. He said, oh, okay, I'll just type it in. So this whole time I'm breathing, going, God, hungry kids. They're worth it. They're worth it. So listen to this, though. I get up there, and the guy starts ringing the things up. He goes, is this for a weekend food bag program? I said, well, actually, it is. He said, my sister's in that program. He said, you know what? She gets a food bag every week, and it's made all the difference. Then he says, are you a teacher? I said, no. I said, we work, you know, with the program at our church. He said, I left church a long time ago. He said, something happened. I never went back. He said, you know what I'm thinking? I think I need to get back to God. I think I need to get back in church. And I didn't get to talk to him for very long. I just encouraged him to do that, and there was people lined up behind us at this point. But how different would that situation have looked if I had given in and said, this is too hard, and I'm frustrated, and I'm not committed, and I'm going to grab my stuff and huff off to another register? God knows. The thing is, we have to commit to the cause. We have to live like this is actually important to us. You know, it says in Philippians 1:27, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. That's a command for us. Live in a manner that's worthy of the good news. And if you're anything like me, that doesn't happen all the time. I'm not out there every minute of every day living in a manner worthy of the gospel, but we need to think about it and stand together. And sometimes I think we get to a point where we feel like the sweat that we're pouring out in service for Jesus is actually on par with the blood that he shed for us. And that's a dangerous place to be, to feel like I'm working so hard for you, God. And in our mind, we're thinking, that's on par with what you did for me. It's not. It never is. What I do for God will never measure up to what he's already done for us. And we'll close with this scripture here. 2 Corinthians 5:17-20. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. That's our job out there, is to plead for the people out there, come back to God. You know, this says we speak for Christ. Do you know what an honor that is, to be in the position of being able to speak for Jesus and go out into the world and say, come back to God. God wants you. To say to that checker at the store, get back into church. God's right there waiting for you. He didn't leave. He's right there no matter what happened to you in the past. Get back to God. That's our job. We're God's mouthpiece. We're his hands. We're his feet here on the earth. But it takes commitment. And to get to that place, you know, first of all, we have to commit to God ourselves. We have to get to a place where we're committed to him. I want all of you to just take a minute and get quiet before God. You can close your eyes. Just take a moment and listen. Ask God in your heart, God, is there something I need to do? Is there an area I need to change? Is there a place I need to get with you that I'm not right now? And if you're here today, you may fall into one of two categories. You may never have asked Jesus into your heart. You may have never committed to God. Or the second category is maybe you did commit to God a while ago and you walked away. God didn't walk away from you, but you chose to get away from him. And today is the day that you want to say, I'm going to recommit myself to God. I'm going to come back to him. And if that speaks to either of you today, if it's your first time committing to God, or if you're wanting to say, I want to take a step and get back to him, I want you to go ahead and raise your hand and I'll pray with you. There's several hands going up. All right, you can put your hands down. And maybe you've committed to God as much as you feel like, but today you want to just make a stand and say, God, I need your help. I need your help in marriage. I need your help in a relationship that I'm going through. I want to live this life uncommon. I don't want to fit in anymore. I want my life to look different. If that's you this morning, go ahead and raise your hand. If you're wanting to say, today I'm making a change, I'm going to commit like never before. several hands going up. You can put them down. Let's all pray together and go ahead and repeat after me. Father God, we come this morning and we lay everything at your feet. Take my heart, God. Take my life, God. And I take your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord of my life. God, you'll be my one and only. I commit to you this morning. And I ask you now to come help me. Help me to commit in every area of my life. God, to commit to you, to commit to my relationships, and to commit to this cause. Lord God, show me the lost. Show me the hurting and help me reach them for you. I love you this morning, God, and I thank you for all you're doing in my life. And I give you the praise, and I give you the honor, and I give you the glory, God.